NewsBiscuit. Real fake news.
Welcome to NewsBiscuit, the UK's original fake news. NewsBiscuit, getting nil pois from the rest of Europe. I'm your host, Renfo, and I'm joined by two people old enough to remember when some of these jokes were funny. Flash Harry.
Hello.
And Ian Searle.
Hello.
This month sees local election apathy reach fever pitch. The death toll in Gaza increases as Eurovision voting concludes. And Tory MP defects to Labour, becoming the first rat to leave a sinking ship only to join a floating turd. And that brings us to our first round news brief, where our panelists select their favourite headlines. Ian, we'll start with you.
Impoverished sadomasochist is strapped for cash. Sacked tattooist drew on friends for support. Woman claims she's being gaslighted. Man corrects her. Gaslit. Comedian risks jail time for violating gag order. 14th birthday party held for town's pothole.
I never really noticed potholes, but I am starting to notice them now. Is that an age thing? You reach a certain age and you notice a pothole? Or are potholes now getting worse?
I think they're worse on major roads, aren't they?
See, when I was a kid, I just thought, I almost wondered if a poles was something sort of almost imaginary, because it features in the Beatles song, doesn't it? Day in the Life, is it? You know, 14,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire, or whatever it happens to be. And so potholes, I always thought was a slightly imaginative. It conjures up images of borrowers and hobbits. And that's what I've got. It always seems quite sort of quaint and slightly sort of mythical.
What, coming over and nicking our bitumen?
We seem to have recurring potholes that return like old friends. They get filled one week and then they're back the next week. And I've heard tell that it's because we don't treat them the way that we used to. Whereas before, you know, they...
emotionally, we don't treat them in the way that we used to. Yeah. Is that what's going on? We've got to be nice to potholes.
Well, apparently you're supposed to line the edge of it with just raw tar without anything in it, just to seal it. But we're not. We're just slapping in some bitumen. I believe, and please Google it, the term pothole comes from people going out fields and what have you, digging up clay within a pot.
So when you dig up other things, you have to then name it after the thing that's being dug up out of it. Like that's a potato hole or whatever.
Yeah, apparently.
That's a dead foxhole.
Yeah.
Well, foxhole's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's probably it all makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right. They're not very imaginative, are they, our ancestors, in terms of how they named stuff? That's why people tune into NewsBiscuit, because we've given them more detail on potholes than any of them possibly wanted. Flash Harry, what have you also got for us?
Naked cribbage player scores one for his knob. Cocaine worth £40 million found in car park, still not enough to pay for 2 hours parking. Parasite found in Devon water is not Prince Harry.
Ah, yeah, this is the water, infected water. Cryptosporidium. Ooh. Is the stuff. Yeah, you see, I know the name because my oldest daughter, when she was a little kiddie, she got infected with it by drinking dodgy water from Portsmouth. And as Flash Harry will attest, all the water in Portsmouth is dirty because it's all the bath water from sailors. This is all true. This is all verifiable. But me and her got a bit kind of misty-eyed when Cryptosporidium came back in the news. We're like, oh, that's your thing that you had.
I immediately thought it was some sort of digital currency.
It does sound cool, doesn't it? Yeah, Cryptosporidium. No, but it's quite curious, isn't it? It's one of those things where it's like, ah, this is deadly water that's going out there. And you think the government's response would be like, well, we must definitely do something about it. But their response seems to be like, yeah, this is bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it just kind of a silence after it. You're like, oh, is this not something we solve? Yeah, well, just what happens. Is it?
Yeah. Floor of Commons renamed Rubicon.
Yeah, this is obviously because we've had some MPs crossing the floor and the like. Most recent ones, she seems like a dreadful person who's left the Tories to join Labour. She seems absolutely appalling. Oh, yeah, I was curious because there seems to be no due diligence on the part of the Labour Party when she defected. You're like, you can literally look up her voting record. You've been working the same building as her for years, but they seem completely like, oh, we didn't know she was a rotter. Oh, well, she's in now. You're like,
But surely it's that old thing about there's more rejoicing in heaven over the repenting. Maybe that's the way that
you think she's like seen the light and she's a better person.
Or she's a ringer and she's going in to turn them all. Well, she hasn't got that far to turn.
No, she hasn't really. What was interesting is she's got quite a sort of, let's say, strident anti-immigration kind of stance. as she's wandered into Labour Party, they've gone, yep, yeah. You like that? You're like, yeah. Oh, okay. She hasn't even had to move an inch on this policy. You're in fact just going to, oh, okay, you're going to go front and centre with her. Yeah, so I feel that it's less about she's defected to the Labour Party. I feel the Labour Party is defected to her. Yeah. But yeah, there's talk of other ones defecting. And obviously the internet's had a bit of a laugh with it because they've gone, you know, is it going to be Sauron next? Or Theresa May was one name that was bandied around. Well, she's got such a great CV. It's just a wonderful track record. Why wouldn't you want someone like that on board?
Be fair, the only way that she's going to cross that floor is if they start planting a field of corn on it.
Yes. Oh, that would be a beautiful scene, wouldn't it? She just runs across in kitten heels.
Straight man caught enjoying Eurovision.
Did we all enjoy Eurovision? Were we all watching it? I certainly did a bit, some of it. Oh, no, you guys don't at all, even slightly. No, we kind of usually do a Eurovision party. Well, we did slightly tune in this year out of kind of morbid curiosity to see what happened with the Israeli entry, because we were like, oof, this could be awkward, but equally so, could be quite funny TV. The Israeli entry actually had, you know, actually genuinely pretty good song, and the booing wasn't too bad. But apparently after the event, loads of people sort of confessed online, very sort of ardent sort of Zionist kind of supporters, that they'd be voting sort of 20-odd times in order to get, you know, Israel, you know, to try and win the competition. And I was thinking, that's a lot of energy put into this. And they seem to be suggesting that somehow if they'd managed to get Israel to win Eurovision, somehow that would have offset...
Yeah, legitimizes.
Yeah. Somehow they could have submitted that to the International Court of Justice as evidence on, you know, you're like, I'm not sure that's how it works in Eurovision. You don't get to win the Eurovision and then do a few war crimes. Can you imagine if Bucks Fizz had done that? If Cheryl Baker had just gone on a lot of ethnic cleansing off the back of their big victory? You know, I've killed a lot of people, but I also pull off their skirt at the same time. I mean, it was just so strange.
But there is a precedent. I mean, when you think about it, Waterloo was actually about an annihilation.
Our next round is True Biscuit, where a panel has to guess which is a real headline and which is a fake one. Ian.
Toronto Police Service has some new advice for vehicle owners. To prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home, leave your fobs at your front door because they're breaking in to steal your car. They don't want anything else.
That sounds like a very sensible sort of Canadian solution. I do understand that kind of that pragmatism of why let someone, you know, break into your house and the fear involved in it. Why not just make it easier for them? But at some point, do you not reach a point where you're almost encouraging them?
Well, I mean, one Toronto woman had her car broken into 3 times and resorted to leaving a note informing the potential thieves that the doors were already open. And it read, "Dear Mr. Robber, please do not break my car window. The door is open. Have a great day."
So the same car was being stolen and returned?
No, it was broken into. So presumably they were nicking stuff off the back seat, I would assume.
See, I like the idea that he was stealing it, going out for the day, having a little ride and then bringing it back. And if they're Canadian, they would have filled up the petrol when they brought it back. Because they're considerate like that.
Be even better is if someone stole it, drove it off, abandoned it, then someone else stole it, brought it back and abandoned it in the same place. Like,
oh, what,
bikes.
Just out of sheer coincidence?
Well, no, it'd be like those bikes that they're introducing. There's electric bikes in cities where you just... I mean, one day that will come, won't it, with cars? You'll just have these cars.
They do feel like stealing, don't they, the electric bikes in cities? I haven't plucked up the courage to ride on one because it just feels like I'm nicking a bike.
I'm sort of thinking the next logical step is to just leave all your prized possessions out on the lawn.
Absolutely.
You know, hang the keys on a hook on the door. So like, go on, help yourselves.
A yard sale, I think they call it. But I guess my other slight concern is about the skill set of Canadian thieves. If you take all of the skill out of being a thief in terms of breaking or what have you, are we just creating an underclass of thieves who have no discernible skills? That if all you're doing is wandering to someone's garden and picking up a thing, anyone could have done that.
Also, you are reducing the skill set of the police force. Apparently, the Toronto Police Association ran an advertisement asking for budget increases. It said almost 4,000 calls are placed to 911 every day, and the response time for the police reached a staggering 22 minutes in 2023. The ad was met with heavy criticism, essentially informing criminals of the potential time frame where the police would not be able to respond.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Oh, you won't be here for 22 minutes? Thank you for the information. Yeah. I just don't know kind of logically where it eventually takes you. To Flash Harry's point, do you end up leaving everything out? Aren't the insurance company going to think this is some sort of scam that you've got going on between you and the thieves? Yeah, nick my stuff, sell it. We'll split the proceeds 50-50 and I'll still claim on the insurance.
I don't know. In terms of police advice, it's sort of the path of least resistance, but it is a bit of a weird thing,
And can you apply that to other crimes? Are they saying that, just because of the hassle of what murders are like and the mess it'll make of your house, it's far better if you just lay in your garden to be killed.
On a plastic sheet.
Yes, in a plastic sheet already pre-wrapped. And that way, at least it's less messy.
I'm going to go false.
Because... No, this is absolutely true. Basically, it was a police officer going around talking to residents' associations, advising them that this is the best thing to do.
Is it possible it might actually be a thief dressed as a cop?
Yes.
Giving this advice.
Genius. Yeah. Genius. Okay, Flash Harry, what's your story?
French architect claims ultimate eco house will be made of salt, sunflowers, and piss.
Salt?
Sunflowers.
And piss. That sounds like some sort of band from the 1950s. Early combination of names that they looked at and they rejected. No, we'll go with Mary, Mungo and Midge in the end. Are these good building materials? I mean, if you'd said to me rock, cement and steel, I'd be like, those are strong building materials. Salt.
And sunflowers.
Have you ever had one of those salt lamps? Have you ever had one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Which look very nice, but... fundamentally, they're made of fucking salt. So if they get any moisture in them, they just melt.
Exactly. Obviously, he's not talking about building in Manchester. But,
No. So you can't deal with the rain. Sunflowers, I'd never even heard that it had any building properties. I'm allergic to sunflower seeds, by the way.
See, this is...
I couldn't eat these houses at all. And what would you... you should really be eating a lot of salt in your diet anyway. So this is good. Gingerbread houses... I'm absolutely fine with, but salt and sunflower and piss, while technically I'm not allergic, just don't like the taste, as my OnlyFans account will show you. So salt, sunflower, and the piss. The piss, I assume, is the bonding agent, or is it just his the way he finishes a building? He signs his name.
They extract dyes from it to give the building a more natural colour.
What colour of piss?
Salt and sunflowers. Yeah, they making door out. Handles out of salt.
Yeah, so anyone with a sweaty hand, you're going to get locked in your house because your door handle's going to dissolve. What?
I want to speak in support of this one, though, because I understand your concerns about it melting away. However, quite a number of houses down here are made from cob, which is essentially straw, which could be the fibre from sunflowers and mud or even cow manure.
But living in the 1400s, Ian? Can you just make that clear to me?
If only.
It's not a region of the country. You're living in a specific century, aren't you?
Yeah. But if one of these lovely thatched cottages catches fire, as they are wont to do, and the fire brigade turn up and start to try and put it out with their hoses, essentially the walls melt.
What's a fire brigade supposed to do? They just sit and watch it?
They've learned not to jet their streams at the walls. They concentrate on the straw.
This is the urine thing again, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just piss on it, lads.
I mean, the other thing for me is, if this was made up, if this was written by a comedy writer, it would have been salt, sunflower and semen. Because the three S's would be funny.
So that's how you build things, is it, Ian?
Yeah. No. That's how I would try and make it funnier.
So I was going to say, I can manage a bungalow, but if you're asking me to do two or three stories, I just don't think I've got it in me. As a teenager, maybe.
I'm erring towards this being a true story.
Oh, really, though? I mean, seriously, there must be other eco-friendly building materials that are better than salt and piss.
Cob. Manure and straw.
What I would say about manure is it feels more substantial.
True.
You know, I could build a brick out of manure. If I just piss in my hands, it's just falling out of my hands. I'm not pissing huge lumps of stuff. But if I am, I'm going to a doctor. I just feel he just went with the first things he could put his hands on. Well, Flash Harry, I mean, the fact that this guy's French, maybe this makes it more plausible, I don't know. But all right, Flash Harry, is this true or false?
It is true.
Why is it true, Trash Harry? Why?
No, I don't know. I can't get to the handle of that, but it just,
what? You can't just dangle your piss-sodden building in front of me and explain why.
Well, I haven't spoken to the guy, but I'm just assuming that the house smells faintly of tweed when you when it gets a bit damp.
Ian, do you have a second one for us?
Ooh. Family Christmas lights crash National Grid.
Now, is this the royal family? Because I can imagine they got a big fuck-off tree and they could do this.
It's a couple from Hounslow. I don't think the royal family come from Hounslow. I could be wrong on that one. They have been ordered to switch off their elaborate external Christmas decorations or else face prosecution. These include a tableau featuring well-known seasonal figures such as Homer Simpson, a Wookiee, John Wayne, and several Lord of the Rings characters, a pink Cadillac, and a 10-foot Elvis dressed as Santa. The energy provider said, "We have to switch off," said John McDade. "They told us that whenever our lights went on, Slough was plunged into darkness."
Apparently, I think if anyone who's come from Slough will just tell you, Slough regularly gets plunged into darkness, but that's just a metaphor.
State.
Apparently, aircraft landing at Heathrow have been complaining that the glow from the glow in the sky from our lights was putting pilots off. The bunch of miserable gits, don't they know it's Christmas?
Maybe this is the cause of the Northern Lights that we had the other day. We live right next door to a massive council estate. And our treat every Christmas is to just drive around the council estate. Everyone really goes for it. Taste is not an issue. And it's like visiting Las Vegas. You've got all these like semi-naked Father Christmases kind of rubbing their breasts. You've got all sorts of really weird and wacky.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I got to be honest, I'm very fond of an inflatable penguin.
Okay, but that's nothing to do with this, is it, Ian? I don't know why you've offered that up.
If you've got an inflatable penguin in your front garden, I'm
Ian
there.
Will worry it, yes.
But there is a tipping point where it stops being a celebration of Christmas and it's just
it's
off.
Just Ian fucking a penguin. I'm more skeptical of the amount of electricity this would involve, that you'd be pulling that amount from the grid to plunge Slough to darkness. Although I suppose the question is, how much electricity does Slough use? I know they've only recently discovered fire, so maybe it wouldn't take that much.
One of the buildings that I used to work in, there were two projects going on at the same time. Kettles at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon was enough to wipe this building out. That's all it was.
Strange. That sounds very deliberate. You know, so I suppose everybody had to go home.
Oh, yeah. It was always on a Friday as well, was it?
It was because of particular projects that happened on a Friday.
Yes. And it wasn't because happy hour started earlier at the local pub, was it?
In fact, what they did was they sent a memo around telling everyone not to have a cup of tea at 3 o'clock, but some people were allowed at 2 and others at 4 to try and balance the whole thing out. That's how they got around it.
Well, that's just woke gone mad there, Ian. If we as Brits can't have a cup of tea where we want, then the terrorists have won. This almost feels like the butterfly effect. Butterfly flaps its wings and someone puts on a cup of tea
in
Tokyo. Yeah, and Slough goes dark. Is this what we're talking about?
If you accidentally join in a building, which is possible, the two voltages, it's horrendous. You know,
that's what I remembered.
Well, bearing in mind that, you know, I didn't get this far in GCSE. What happens if you join the two voltages together?
You get a big voltage, even bigger than the normal mains voltage, and it's instant death. That's, you know, you don't get blown across the room and your hair starts looking like Doc Smith out of Back to the Future and smoking. You're a goner. That's it.
Right. How am I joining two voltages? In my head, it's that bit in Ghostbusters where they cross the streams. We're talking about?
Pretty much like that, yeah.
How can my thing in my head about Ghostbusters be close to reality? Don't feed me like this. Don't lean into my stupidity. Don't go, you're pretty close. No, I can't be close on this. What, there's a huge Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? And then there's...
That's what you'd look like after.
So that's why in workplaces you shouldn't have a Christmas tree. I hate Christmas trees in workplaces, and I love Christmas because it just feels like they're manipulating me into coming into work, and they're going, "Oh, look how jolly your workplace is." I'm like, "Look, I wouldn't come here if you didn't pay me." That's how this works. This is this arrangement that we got going on here. I'm not your best friend.
Our horrible cheap Christmas tree and cheap decorations in our office. The thing that gets me is the glitter that it sheds. That's going to kill you, surely. And it hangs around for months. It's horrible.
And it's hard to explain to your wife when you got home. Yeah. It just looks like you're having an affair with the stripper all year round.
Yeah. Yes.
Or a small leprechaun.
15-foot tree of Christmas, and it was only decorated up to about 8.5 feet because the guy couldn't be bothered to go get the scissor lift.
That's excellent.
Basically, a Christmas tree for Jazzle.
It does feel a little bit rude, in a kind of a sexy way, of a half-dressed Christmas tree. It would feel slightly topless, I guess.
I'd
feel slightly ashamed to look at a Christmas tree. If it was only halfway up, I'd be like, oh no, cover yourself. Oh. Don't. I'll wait till you put something on. I think I could set up a website for this. I reckon I can get people, middle-aged men interested in it. Just like a hint of foliage up the top.
I'm going to go for true.
He's just, oh no, he's just tricked you with science. They'll do that all the time. You stitch your guns, Flash Harry. The earth is flat. Oh,
I haven't got any guns this early in the morning. It sounds plausible, but then...
No, it's only because he's thrown in some extra stuff and you never studied at school, so you're willing to accept it. It's like when someone does something in Latin, everyone goes, oh, it must be true. That's how Boris Johnson became Prime Minister.
Unfortunately, it was false. It was a news biscuit. Old news biscuit.
But, I should go and get my gullible hat then.
We're back to you, Flash Harry, I think.
Rescued baby hedgehog turns out to be hair bobble. Hat bobble.
A hair or a hat bobble?
Hat bobble, not hair bobble.
Because that would be the German story. Ah, you brought in a little baby hedgehog story at the end. If nothing else, that's cute. Last few weeks, people have brought in the most horrific stories. Now, we had a news biscuit story a couple of years ago now about someone doing exactly the same sequence of things. But for them, they thought it was like it was a dead leopard, I think, by the side. And I don't know which is worse. Pull over a leopard where you go, clearly it can't be a leopard. What am I thinking? Or a hedgehog, which is obviously much more true. But you're going, really? Is it? Should I be pulling over for a hedgehog? Because it's potentially quite dangerous, is it, to pull over a motorway?
They don't want
you doing that. What's the legal advice? Are you supposed to just, if a hedgehog runs out in front of you, kill it? Is it? I don't know. Is it? Are you encouraged to kill an animal as a driver? I mean, obviously, should you stop? Do you swerve? Yeah. Is it safer just to plow right into it?
It depends whether it's a dog or a cat or a... Because don't dogs have...
Well, you've got a little chart, have you, where you're ticking them off? I've already got a dog this week. I don't need another one, but if it's a cat...
In the back of my mind somewhere, I've got... If you run over a dog, you have to report it because they were licensed and therefore they were a legal entity. Whereas if you run over a cat, you don't have to tell anyone about it. I don't know if that's true.
Cats all technically illegal migrants then?
Probably, yeah.
Came over from Burma and the like.
Pea green boat with an owl.
that's a trafficker. Just because you're saying it's an owl doesn't mean he's not a cat trafficker.
This bobble, though, I'm trying to think of anything I've seen that people wear on their heads that look like hedgehogs, because I mean
it was just the bobble, not the hat.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Right, it's a bobble.
The nice thing is here that having stopped the traffic and done this, he had to go through the pantomime of actually picking it up as a baby hedgehog.
Oh, brilliant.
And moving it gently to the verge.
I've had a flashback. I do actually stop for hedgehogs if I see one, and it's not always the most popular thing to do. Generally speaking, I will get out of the car and I'll pick it up and help it.
Is this curb crawling again? If you can't find a junk penguin, you're looking for lonely hedgehogs just wandering. They are very, very spiky. So the guy, did he do the whole kind of, oh, ow, oh, wow, that I would do when he's putting it into the car?
Yeah, or improvised glove. Maybe an oven glove that you happen to have in the back of the car.
That looks particularly kinky. This guy then obviously felt enough shame to carry through the kind of charade pretending it's a hedgehog.
Yeah.
But not enough shame to get the story published in the newspapers. And I'm assuming somewhere there's someone walking around with a hedgehog on their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, hair bubbles by sides of roads. I always find it, animals by sides of roads are interesting, but I'm always interested by items of clothing by sides of roads. You get a lot of single shoes, for example.
Yeah.
And then my brain's going, well, what's the sequence of events where, I don't know, someone's hurled one shoe out of a car? What kind of argument is going on in that car that someone's gone, you know what? I hate you, particularly your left shoe. And they hurl it out. I mean, it seems so specific.
Harking back to my student days, you know, those lonely walks home after a night at the student union, I always used to feel that there was a chance you could have fully clothed yourself with the number of items of clothing that you found on the average journey back to Diggs.
Now, you see, what Ian's not revealing is that what would happen is he, on the way out for the evening, he would take off all his clothes to go and enjoy himself in town. So coming back, he was just putting back on the clothes that he'd already discarded. This shoe fits really well. this t-shirt's just my color. What are the chances? This underwear is my name signed into it. I mean,
some humongous baubles that really just don't deserve to be on people's heads.
It sounds like it needs some sort of policing.
Yeah.
The template that goes out and measures your bobble and nicks you. If you're excessive bobbling in a built-up area.
This is a perfect example why middle-aged men should not be allowed to write laws. You guys get so angry about things, and your first default is like, yeah, we need to lock people up for this. What, we can't have a conversation? No, death penalty, definitely. So you'd definitely be the person throwing it out of your car window.
Yeah, with the left shoe. Oh, this has got to be true. I'm totally sold. I can see myself doing this.
It is true.
Hedgehogs, cute. Who doesn't like a hedgehog?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've never heard a bad thing about hedgehogs, but maybe I don't know enough about them. Someone the other day was telling me something horrific about what sea otters do.
With hedgehogs?
No, but they definitely would do. Finally, we reach the magic eight ball. Each of our guests is going to give us their predictions for next month's news.
Harry Potter franchise launches its house elf musical, Hello Dobby.
Government to reduce hospital waiting lists by building more corridors and less wards.
And that brings us to the end of this episode, and I can reveal this month's winner is Stormy Daniels, who this time got to screw Donald Trump without actually having to screw Donald Trump. I'd like to thank Flash Harry.
Cheers.
And Ian Searle.
Thank you.
And I leave you with these headlines. Strange colourful lights in the sky is just seepage from ABBA hologram concert. Man who bred six-seater horse admits he's got a lot riding on it. And Sunak's master plan to win the election is to defect to Labour. I think he's probably too left-wing. Although didn't Penny Mordaunt do that joke, didn't she? She did it in the House of Commons. She said, I'm not defecting because I'm too left-wing. And everyone laughed, and then there was a pause, and then there was another sort of round of laughter. So everyone, that's actually probably true. it's no longer funny. It's now just become sad.
You've been listening to News Biscuit, free to read and free to write for. We accept submissions from any budding satirist, young or old. Visit newsbiscuit.com to submit headlines, stories, and to support new writers.
News Biscuit. Real fake news.
But Ren, when you said piss-sodden buildings, if you'd said that earlier, it would have sold it to me straight away, because every multi-story car park I've ever been in has been made out of salt, sunflower and piss.
Yeah, that's true. After a Friday night, that's what they have, yes. Okay, well, Flash Harry appreciate this, particularly. The Tricorn Centre in Portsmouth,
God, yes.
which won when it was first built. It actually won some architects' awards, but it was built on the premise that the environment was that of like the south of Spain or Portugal, as opposed to where we are, which is grim. So it was all this sort of a brutalist looking concrete thing that increasingly got sort of grey and damp and mouldy. And it just looked like, eventually it became one of the most hated buildings in the country. And it just looked like the place you go to be murdered. That's the vibe
there
it had.
Queues forming.
To just be murdered, yes. Yeah. It was, the Tricorn was so hideous. And they knocked it down. And this is the thing, they didn't even bother replacing it with anything. They just left it, didn't they? It's just the space. And it looks so much better than what it was before. It's just a barren landscape. And you go, that's an improvement. Oh, the Tricorn, that was bad.